Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The FBI and police are investigating bomb threats called in to the Fairbanks International Airport Wednesday night. The terminal was evacuated and flights delayed for a little more than an hour, but no bomb was found and no one was injured. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Airport spokeswoman Sammy Loud says the terminal was evacuated just after 9 Wednesday evening after a dispatcher with the Airport Communications Center got the first of two phoned-in bomb threats.
We received the threat at 9:04 p.m. and the terminal was reopened and operational after an extensive sweep at 10:14 p.m.
Loud says the dispatcher got a second threat 2 minutes after the first. By then, authorities had begun to evacuate the nearly 200 people in the terminal and launched a search for a bomb with help from Fort Wainwright's Explosive Ordnance Unit. Alaska State Troopers helped airport police handle traffic during the evacuation, which ended after no bomb was found. Loud says due to an ongoing investigation, she could not talk much about what the caller said, except to say the caller did not indicate that the bomb was targeted at anyone or any specific airline or agency at the airport.
I can say that it wasn't directed at any particular person in the terminal. It was directed at the building itself.
Loud says the evacuation delayed an inbound Alaska Airlines flight for about 15 minutes and that the aircraft was parked on the south cargo apron away from the terminal while the evacuation and sweep were in progress. She says an outbound Alaska Airlines flight was delayed by about 30 minutes. Loud says she believes this is Fairbanks International's first bomb threat, or at least neither she nor her boss could recall the airport receiving any such threat over the previous decade. She says authorities have not increased the level of security at the airport as a result of the incident, and she says the FBI is helping airport police with the investigation. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Cuts would be accelerated across the University of Alaska system if a state Senate proposed budget is finalized by the legislature. The UA Board of Regents met yesterday to discuss contingency measures. In light of Senate passed funding for UA, that's $22 million less than the $325 million supported by the House and governor. UA President Jim Johnson did not cite specifics, but previewed a range of areas targeted for cuts if the lower number holds.
Continued work on program reductions, pressure on research support, community campuses would be impacted, no question about it. Facility maintenance, this has been an important goal for the board and for the university. That, I think, would have to be scrutinized. And I think we'd end up, again, with fewer faculty, fewer staff to help our students.
Johnson noted that UA has already weathered a 14% reduction in state support over the last 3 years that's resulted in the loss of over 900 jobs and elimination or suspension of 50 academic programs.
And so serious impacts are being felt now, and with the reduction of this level, those impacts will become more and more serious.
President Johnson emphasized the importance of protecting key priorities, including system-wide Title IX initiatives, as well as individual campus focuses like health at UAA, education at UAS, and research at UAF. UAF Chancellor Dana Thomas highlighted the potential for additional cuts in the coming year, including academic program and job losses, noting research cannot be completely spared.
We will have decreased capacity to be competitive and secure external funding.
Thomas pointed to statewide economic impacts resulting from a decline in the purchase of research-required goods and services. Thomas said there's no plan to cut any UAF sports, noting an outpouring of opposition that resulted in reversal of elimination of teams last fall, but added program reductions are possible.
Certainly reducing athletic scholarships has potential in that area. That would be a major way that they would be able to achieve reductions.
Thomas also highlighted an anticipated 3% decline in enrollment that's resulting in the closure of a dormitory. The university's strategic pathways process is aimed at weaning UA down to $312 million in state funding by 2025. President Johnson said accelerating the decline will result in a hard landing, triggering more abrupt action, including a possible mid-year tuition hike in January 2018. Alaska is one of just 7 states that don't have environmental covenants, but a bill making its way through the state house would change that. As Rasha McChesney reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, the legislation requires full disclosure of contamination on the deed of a property before it can be sold.
There are disclosure laws in Alaska already, but Kristen Ryan, the spill response director for the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, says they aren't always followed. There's even an online database where the state keeps detailed logs of the types of contamination and cleanup efforts.
So the information is out there for people, but who goes and looks at our database when you're buying property? I mean, it's not common.
The new law would allow the state to put a covenant right on the deed of a property.
It's a good bill.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Peter Michicki is carrying the bill this session. So far, opposition has come primarily from the Department of Defense. The Air Force Regional Environmental Office wrote to Michicki saying it couldn't comply with the new law. There are federal laws that don't allow covenants to be placed on federal land. And Michicki says he was expecting to hear from the federal government.
We feel they should be held at the same standard.
Ryan says that it's a critical addition to Alaska's bill because most of the state's open contaminated sites are on federal property. The Environmental Covenants Bill has a hearing scheduled for Monday after the conclusion of the 90-day regular session. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
And I'm Dan Bross.